Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. Nick Bibby is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Nick is has had a long history of helping entrepreneurs. He's an expert in the area of franchising. You know how many times he's been on the show before talking to us about franchising. He's actually the principal of the Bibby Group, and he helps people all over the country put their best foot forward in many different ways. With regard to being successful in the franchise business, whether that be being a franchisor or a franchisee. Nick, welcome back to the show.
And thank you for having me, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's always good to have you back.
Thank you.
What's new in the world of franchising?
Well, actually, Jim, as you well know, it's a very dynamic industry, and I thought that today we'd talk about the smaller, although extremely important niche of franchising a business. We've talked many times about buying a franchise, but I thought we'd talk about
being the franchisee.
Sir?
Being the franchisee we've talked about in the past.
Yes, we have, and I thought we'd talk about becoming a franchisor.
Actually creating the idea that other people buy.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I have thought through this subject for well over 25 years, and I've written many an article concerning the world of franchisors. And it appears to me that over these many years, most business owners, and I was about to qualify and say most successful business owners, but that's not true. Most business owners, even prospective business owners, consider the idea of franchising as a growth vehicle. And yet, it is a highly dangerous area. If you're not made for it, it's a highly lucrative and exciting industry if you are made for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears to me, Jim, that after years of doing on-site feasibility studies, that the whole realm of becoming a franchisor boils down to very few points. But I feel now, after, again, many years, that one is either made to be a franchisor through their natural-born mentoring capacity, or they're not.
Well, you know, Nick, I think I certainly understand what your point is, because some people are made to be entrepreneurs but not to be operators of a business. Some people are excellent operators, but they're not very good at being an entrepreneur. You know, some people, just like you've known people who were wildly successful in insurance, and other people weren't. There's definitely something about the franchisor direction that some people are cut out for, and some people aren't cut out for, just as they're cut out for being an entrepreneur or not being an entrepreneur.
You're exactly right. The person who would be the ideal franchisor would most certainly not be the ideal franchisee.
Mm-hmm.
And
because the franchisor is an entrepreneur through and through, a risk taker through and through, and a franchisee has to color inside the lines.
Yeah, I think you're right again. I think there's another dimension of, or another layer of independence that the franchisor assumes, because they already stepped out, and then they stepped out in order to create a successful business. They step out once again when they elect to become the teacher mentor for those that need a business system to put on like a suit.
Does it help to be a little bit of a control person to be a franchisor?
Yeah, I guess, right. I think that that's really true.
Notice I didn't say control freak, because I think that goes too far, but it probably helps to have a little bit of control, right?
Well, that's certainly true, and that's an excellent point to make, Jim, because pushing the envelope too far makes the franchisor look at franchisees like employees or underlings when they're not. And that's the very fine line between am I engaging employees or am I engaging franchisees who have paid to come into my operating system.
Which basically become, on some levels, business partners.
Yeah, they really do, always on an unequal level.
Right.
And, of course, you've got better than 3,000 franchised concepts today running from the very largest. And the last time I took a look, Jim, the very largest, let's say Subway and McDonald's, run around 30,000 units worldwide. Then you've got folks who haven't yet
to sell. 30,000 each?
Yeah, they're roughly about 30,000 each around the world.
Right.
And yeah, that's to give you an idea of how great a size that is, look at the total operating units in North America of somewhere around 600,000. So just those two systems alone represent about 10% of the franchise industry.
Right.
Huge.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But so a franchisor, though, not only has to be all the things that you and I talked about, but they have to also say – they come to a fork in the road, don't they, when they're growing their business. They say, okay, I can either grow my business by hiring more people and doing the acquisition and capitalizing all the growth myself and managing all these people and everything accrues to me. Or I can develop a different business model, and I can go the franchise route. That's the fork in the road for them, isn't it?
Yeah. Once again, you're right. Although it appears to me, because I'm so fond of the franchise concept, you're right.
Go ahead.
You're right, because you either decide to own many company units or expand through OPM, other people's money, and teach them how to do what you do.
Hold on to that thought, Nick. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Nick Bibby and I will be right back talking more about whether it's a good thing for you to be a franchisor or whether you should grow your business the old-fashioned way through branches. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is the flagship. That's where you can find the show, the archives, the articles, the newsletter. You can subscribe to that. I encourage you to do that. It comes every Sunday by email and gets you ready for the week ahead. The blog we update every weekday. It's a multimedia blog, not like any other blog you've ever seen. And, of course, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, askjim.biz. And it's where you can get Small Business Answers Now. Nick Bibby is our guest. He is the principal and the founder of The Bibby Group, and that's an organization that helps small business owners, well, actually lots of different people, decide what to do about franchising. And Nick, we're talking about franchise, developing a franchise, being a franchisor, the entrepreneur who creates a business model that has decided that growing this model is better by growing it with other people's money, as you say, OPM, and letting them sort of be your franchise partners rather than expanding and being employees. And you know, Nick, you and I both have seen this many times before, where companies have gone both ways. They've grown the business by expanding their own business, and later they would franchise. And I've seen people go the franchise route and later consolidate it back under the company.
Yep, you're right again.
It doesn't have to. I mean, once you head in a certain direction, you can morph it, can't you?
You can. But one of the most impressive engagements I've ever had as a consultant regards a franchise unit where the new franchisor, the company was developed by one person or group of people and then purchased, and the new group decided that it would grow company-owned units in what they considered the most profitable markets in North America. And in that case, it backfired because the current franchisees who wanted to expand found themselves in competition mm-hmm. with the franchisor. So what I usually tell people is that, look, if you're king of your core business and you are made to be a mentor and want to help people as opposed to being the boss of employees, this might be a suitable path. But once you move from your core business to franchising, you have actually moved into another industry. You've moved into the franchise industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point, Jim, let me take your point in just one second. But at that point, you have said, I'm going to teach people what I know. Now, there have been numerous cases, like you have stated, where somebody has franchised or a company has franchised and then gone back and purchased all of those territories and units that have become successful. But you're right on that. Most startups, however, if most startups focus on becoming the teacher, the mentor, the suitor of their own core business for other people as investors and workers, it can be a very lovely symbiotic relationship.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that some people may choose the franchise route? To be a franchisor because they want to grow their business a little faster than their own access to capital will take them?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I operating with other people's money as well as other people's management time and experience is mm-hmm. what makes the franchise grow so quickly. Of course, you're taking then a percentage of gross sales as opposed to owning the unit, but you're also deleting the negatives of on-site management.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think overall, Jim, and you and I have talked about this so many times, but overall, one is either made for the franchise industry, be it franchisee, franchisor, supplier, consultant, or you're really not made for it. I think it gets mm-hmm. in your blood.
How do you find out if it's right for you?
I think that you know it's right for you if one of your main interests is in learning, teaching, passing things on, and seeing something grow without your fingers all over it. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And without having to be involved in all the management, you're willing to let some of it go, which means that that you're not as much of a control freak. But
I think that's so true. I mean,
yeah.
I really think the franchisor is able to step back, take a deep breath, and say, let me show you again how this works.
Right. I'm going to have some control over the way you're going to do business, because you're going to have to agree to a certain formula that this business has been developed on. That's my control. But in terms of opening the shop and showing up for work every day and all that kind of thing, that's up to you, franchisee. Whatever you decided to do, that's the way you do it. But in terms of how you make the recipe, how you what colors you use and all that, that's basically by contract.
It's all by contract that we call the franchise agreement. And I'll tell you, Jim, I have worked with so many concepts. It blows my mind every time a new person calls, a new entrepreneur with a new concept that they want to franchise.
Well, and I'll tell you, Nick, I want you to come back another time and let's talk. Let's take this to the next level. Let's take this franchisor thing to the next level. Let's remember this. And by the way, folks, Nick's all over both of my websites at smallbusinessadvocate.com. He's got a number of answers up for you on AskJim.biz on franchising. So check that out as well. Nick, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
Quick break. 29 after. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.